We are back. It feels like it's been a while, but I'm joined by Matty G tonight. We're going to talk about our early top 12 players for the 2024-25 season, as well as some silly, stupid season waiver wire targets. There was a prime one today, and he is not on the list, but we probably will talk about him. This is Fantasy Basketball International. This is Balls Deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast, part of the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Joined, as I said, by Matty G. He was away last week. It was Easter. Everyone was away, but he's back tonight. Support for this Fantasy Basketball International Podcast episode is brought to you by Manscaped. And look at this. We've even got a pretty rocket. Thanks to B-Dub. I had nothing to do with this, but B-Dub, he's all over it. Brought to you by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming, shaving. Your jewels doesn't have to be risky business anymore. If you do it, thanks to the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra, this trimmer is all about keeping things smooth and safe so you can trim with confidence. Treat your wrinkle berries and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com to get 20% off free shipping, plus free shipping, with the code FBI with Manscaped. It's easy grooming, no surprises. I'm going to bring him in here because I want to talk to you about Manscaped. Now, this is a new product for me.
You've never Manscaped before. Wait, you've never Manscaped or using the 5.0 as a new one for you?
Never Manscaped. So it's... It arrived in the mail. Being closer to 30, it was never something that was really a priority for me growing up. Okay. So, but I will be giving it a crack. I'm going to give it a try and maybe surprise the wife. Maybe who knows what her reaction will be. But
It's Valentine's Day every weekend in your house when you start pulling that.
It will be for sure.
How do you reinvigorate to your relationship, Kingy? Apparently, you just get out the Lawnmower 5.0 and you do the front lawn and the downstairs one as well.
That's right, and I have had a play with it, so I do have it here. Yeah. As I said, it came very, very easy to use, which is good for someone like me.
It is.
The head pops straight off, so it comes with two heads now. So I guess that's a new thing.
The liner could be the head pops straight off, so yours can later on as well.
Maybe. Let's put that to them. Comes with a head. This one is for trimming. So this one is just if you want to go short, and that might be my go-to, I think, if I do. And then it comes with this head here, which takes you all the way down to the skin. I'm not sure I'm going to do that, but maybe I will. We'll see.
Usually we talk Aussie question. It's like, great. What kind of biscuit do you like? And now it's like, hey, what are you packing downstairs?
That's right.
I'm a proud groomer. That's all I'm going to say. So, shout out to your sponsors there, the Manscaped blokes and ladies over at that company, because, keep it clean. And we know what an Australian summer's like.
We do. And I'm actually, so this one, the Lawnmower 4.0 is actually going to be good for me in summer because it's also a body groomer. So if you don't want to mess around down with the old Jats crackers, fair enough.
The old Jats
crackers. But for me, I'm a pretty hairy dude. Hard to tell, but I am pretty hairy. Okay. And in summer, sunscreen is my worst enemy. I hate putting it on.
You wouldn't be able to get it on through the dense layer of fur.
That's right. It's like trying to put it on a cat. Honestly, it sucks, and I hate it. So this boy is going to be good because I often shave arms, legs, basically everywhere else, so that it only takes me 5 minutes to get the sunscreen on. So this is going to be a lot easier. than the dodgy clippers I'm using at the moment. So
I like this very much for you, Kingy. I like this for your journey, and I'm looking forward to Mrs. Kingy, who we like to call Mrs. Queen, give us some more some feedback on this one as well.
Yeah, so stay tuned. We'll have an update in the coming weeks, probably.
I've got an update that I didn't think was possible. Someone dropped Jalen Duren in a league that I'm in the other day, and I'm playing against Matty Malley, who I do the Tuesday show with, the pickup.
Yep.
And him and I think he's one of my favorite rivals. We've played each other in fantasy so much this year, it's ridiculous. And this is a playoff for fifth, and only the top four players got into the finals. And we're playing for fifth now, and Jalen Duren's on the wire. He didn't get picked up off waiver ads, and I'm just about to pick him up. This is one of my favorite little random silly season pickups of the year. He's just sitting there at the top, and I'm like, wait a minute, surely not. But drop Rui Hachimura after your back-to-back set. Look at that, Kingy.
There you go. Makes sense.
Do I want to confirm that? Fuck it, I do.
Yep, go and confirm that.
I've confirmed it. Confirmed
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. We'll jump into this, but as I said, get 20% off free shipping with the code FBI at manscaped.com. 20% off and free shipping. And they have a sale on at the moment, actually. So you can get the packs that you can get are on sale, and then you get a further 20% off. So I think in Australia, it brings it down to under $200 for a pack with a couple of shavers and some lotions and things in there, as well as boxer shorts and travel bags. So use the code FBI at manscaped.com. We'd really appreciate it, and so would they. So
100%.
Yeah, happy to have them on board. But we're here to talk fantasy. Where we're usually, it's the end of the season, so obviously a lot of people aren't probably even active anymore. If you are and your league is still going, you might want to change that.
Talk to your commissioner. I had this on the other day. And by the way, I've just got in from work. I haven't even cracked the bottle yet. What are you on tonight before we talk
just
business?
Just on the Canadian clubs
some
tonight.
Pleasure? Okay. Yeah, I've got Canadian to join clubs. You.
Yep.
Business, some business, some pleasure before business. I had this conversation the other day. Talk to your commissioner. And I'm now, Kingy, I'm going to put this to you. My official line in the sand, I won't join a league if it runs past week 21 next year. So last year was a little bit messy. We know the NCAA tournament's kicking in right now. So obviously if you're running into the dog days of fantasy, which is week 24 next week, you even missed two games. And the one that I talked about a minute ago with Mally was that it was cooked around. We had to reset the league. And I know it was like the commissioner was trying to just fix that up in a hurry because there was a stuff up on draft day. But the settings didn't change. And then you can't go and mix with it too much after people, notice it late. But with 2 days out next week, with some shenanigans around March Madness and what we're seeing now, I think week 21 is, for me, optimal to have a league done by. I know you move leagues back forward. I know your friends and family one. I think it was 19 or 20 it wrapped. Where do you like to end the fantasy season right now, just the future cast?
Yeah, I think that's about right. What week are we in now?
23.
So I had four leagues end on the weekend, so week 22.
Yep.
And I won all of them. There you go. There's a shout out to FBI and what we're doing.
Wow. Here.
So I won all four finals that I was in on the weekend. So that was good. Nice little financial upturn for me.
Huge.
So
remind me not to
say,
join those leagues next year.
No, I don't need other good people in there. They're leagues with my mates, some of them. And a couple of them were draft-only leagues, so I didn't even look at them throughout the season and then went and checked and went, hey, I won. Yeah, so I'd say 22 or 21. I had a couple end the week before and then a few last week. So I wouldn't go any further than 22 or 21 because, as we've seen already this week, there's a noticeable sort of change in team philosophies and that sort of thing. Brooklyn were eliminated today, or yesterday or something. But so they're going to start heading down that path as well. So yeah, I think 22 or 21 is a good time to end head to head leagues. Anyway,
I would agree.
So we're going to talk about some silly season ads. Now, we haven't gone back and forth on this, so I have no idea who you're going to bring up. So hopefully we don't double up too much, but I'll let you start. Who's your first silly season target?
I don't know, man. I'm probably going to have to say Jairus Walker with Kamara going out over in Portland. And the thing for me today was Ayton played. I don't think Grant's going to be long for this world. I think he's probably my pick. I think he's probably one of my picks over there in Portland. And I'm looking around the Portland Trailblazers because they've Scoot Henderson had a great one today. Scoot's been about, but I think Banton has been flirting around that one. So the guys like the Blazers in the Blazers team, I think have been getting some awareness, but I really like Walker. And I think I liked his 14, but the 22 rebounds today, even with DeAndre Ayton getting 16 against Charlotte, who admittedly did play Grant Williams as their center. I think he's one of my first guys that I'm going to pay attention to is Jarris a little bit more closely.
Jabari Walker, I assume you're...
Oh, Jabari Walker. Yes, Jabari Walker. Not Paces Walker. No. Not Paces Walker.
Yes. No, Jabari, look, he's been sort of on the cusp all season. He's been there or thereabouts. And I think, now over the final 2 weeks, hopefully they're just going to lean into him a bit more and Ayton will be hopefully shut down at some point. So, I don't mind him. And I didn't have him on my list, so that's good.
Oh, good. Jabari Walker, there you go. My first one is we've cleared one. Your turn.
All right, my turn. I'm going to go with let's steer away from the Blazers then. I'm going to head to Detroit and go with Chimezie Metu. He's
okay. Okay.
We've seen it from him before. So he's unlike Jabari Walker, Metu is a bit of a known quantity. So we know where his strengths are. We know what he can do. But, I mean, Detroit they got nothing to play for. Obviously, they haven't had anything to play for a long time. So Chimezie Metu has played at least 26 minutes in four straight games.
Yep.
He gets you defensive stuff. He's had a block basically in every game over the last 2 weeks. What's he ranked? Where are we? He's 82nd over the last week, top 100 over the last 2 weeks. He had that random game. I feel like it was Christmas Day. Let me go back.
Christmas Day,
playing when he was still playing for Phoenix.
That's
right.
And
he had 23-19 out of nowhere.
Because I remember this because I met up with my mate. So one of my best mates is Nate Hand. And shout out to anyone who might be listening for the Aussie Suns podcast. To those guys, they were doing watch parties of different Suns games around Australia this year. And I was catching up with Nate, who was over from Singapore. And he told me and Matrix from Insight, come on now, we're going to meet in Brisbane at this bar and we're going to watch a Suns game. And it was just before Christmas. And they were talking about, oh yeah, Metu's on the bubble. He's going to start getting some extra burn. Watch this guy be great for us. And he didn't have a great one. This was just before Christmas Day. And then the second that I got that one, I got the text messages on around that time being like, Metu season. It was just around Christmas because he was over visiting here in Australia for the last time. And it's like, I told you Metu was good. And then I was like, why'd you trade it?
And look, he can be good. He just, that game was completely out of nowhere. Before that, he played 13 minutes, 15 minutes, 9, 10. And then he played 34 for whatever reason. And then basically did nothing for the rest of his time in Phoenix. True. Came to Detroit. They've signed him. Isaiah Stewart's done for the season. Cade Cunningham is in and out. Who knows? Duren could miss time. So
don't say that. I just picked him up. We just did that exercise live, Kingy.
We did. But I don't see him playing every game down the stretch. No. Look, you'll probably get a couple out of him. But I think Metu is probably going to be there every night playing close to 30 minutes. So go and grab him.
Agree.
See what happens. Your next person, who we got?
I'm going to stick in the Motor City and I'm going to call him, is a loose terminology. I'm going to call him Malachi Sasa or Marcus Flynn. Because it's either going to be Malachi Flynn or Marcus Sasser. One of those two guys is going to get minutes. And I think we all know the big silly season hero of today in 34 minutes was Malachi Flynn dropping a 50 piece. But it wasn't just that he's done. He's gone and matched it with 6 rebounds, 5 assists, and a cheeky little 3 steals. If you had him in a points league for whatever reason, please reach out to every analyst and tell us we suck. I don't care if it's Adam King or myself. I don't care if it's Dan Titus or good mate Joshie Lloyd. You are smarter than every single human being in the room. If you said, you know what? No, I'm going really heavily into Malachi Flynn stock today. I'm going really hard into Flynn stock because I couldn't have seen that coming. But the point is, like you said, if Cade Cunningham is going to go out and miss pieces, they're going to give Sasa, a rookie, they're going to give him some burnout there on the floor. He did start today in 32 minutes. He was underwhelming, 4 from 13. But Malachi Flynn got hot. They're going to give him burn. And if you look at the split of minutes there between these guys, James Wiseman is getting 20. Evan Fournier off the bench, he's shit, 15. They can go. Boehm can get minutes there. But this is pretty consistent for minutes now across these guys. And Fournier might not get minutes, but that might be 15 minutes that goes to Flynn or Sasa next time when Cade plays in, if he plays. But on days that Cade out, if you've got a daily changes league, yeah, I'm keeping my eye on Sasa or on Flynn.
Yeah, I think both worth a look. I'm going to go to Washington, I think. Another season, silly season special. Tristan Vukcevic. So not Vooch, but close.
Vooch Light.
The Wizards, Bagley did his knee, I think it was yesterday, knee sprain. He's probably done for the season. Rashawn Holmes has been dealing with this toe thing for about 2 weeks. He plays every now and then.
Injury.
There's no reason to be playing him. And so Vukcevic is the guy they want to get a look at here. Yep. I'm still not convinced on the minutes. He played 31 yesterday in the game that Bagley went out in. Only played 20 today. He did have 15, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block, 3 threes. Yesterday he had 14 and 7 with a steal and 1 three-pointer. 31 minutes yesterday, 21 today, but they were against the Lakers today. So up
in
against
a 5-point
Anthony
loss,
Davis.
In a 5-point yeah. loss, can I say, which is interesting.
It is interesting. And they beat the Bucks last night. And then of course, the Bucks lost to the Grizzlies tonight. So that, who knows what's going on there. But
indication.
Even though he only played 21 tonight, he started. I don't think Bagley's coming back. He was in foul trouble as well. So he had 5 fouls. So that played into this. So even though he wasn't awesome tonight, I think there's a chance they start him and play him close to 30 minutes down the stretch. I don't dispute that at all. And the fact that he adds that floor space element to them, I mean, Bagley can shoot threes, but you wouldn't rely on him or want him shooting threes. So I think it just gives the Wizards a different look, something they haven't had all season. So, I think he is probably a must-add player even in standard leagues at the moment.
I got asked yesterday, like, do I pick him up because of the Holmes and the injury and the toe? It's the Wizards, like, maybe? And I'm like, yep, just do it because you've got nothing to lose. They're the Wizards. We all know that, look, Shane Payne's been getting minutes there and he played well off the bench today. Like we never know what's really going to happen with the Washington Wizards lineup and their rotations. But what we do know is that there is an opportunity for a big there. He can stretch the floor. He can do it all. Why not? Just pick him up, see how he goes for a game or two, and then drop him. As you said, he's going up against AD. We're talking about like one of the best centers in the NBA, top 12 fantasy player all season long. He has been incredible. You write this one off and then you see where they go. He's got minutes. Minutes equals opportunity. So, yeah, he's definitely getting on. I think he should be on people's radars, especially on any Wizards back-to-backs as well. That's just a good shout to secure you, which I think they've got coming up. They're off the back of the back-to-back, aren't they now? They're off the back. They're off the back-to-back.
Yeah, they are. So I'm just looking. They don't play again until Friday this week. But, is this next week? Oh, no, that's next week. Hang on, I want this week.
I have the advanced grid week 23. Here we go. Wizards all the way down the bottom. Yeah, they'll play again on Friday and Sunday this week.
Yeah.
And it's against Portland. And oh my God. Look, if you want a guy for your Friday and your Sunday and you need a big and you're looking to consolidate some there, they're right up against Portland and Toronto.
In Toronto, yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty measly opponent. I mean, look, Duop Reith could get some burn. Walker could get some burn, as we spoke about before, over in Portland. And in Toronto, I guess that brings to my next pick, someone that you touched on last week and I've kept my eye on. He played well off the bench today because Grady Dick seems to be the guy that they're just ingraining to giving all the minutes in the world. So if you want some Dick, go for it. We all know he's going to be getting the minutes and the time out there right now. But Jordan Nowra, your guy last week, he wasn't great off that conversation. But just because I think this comes back to when a guy isn't good in the next game, and if you miss adding him, you don't have to worry about it. You can always just keep your eye on these guys. But Jordan Nowra, 30 minutes almost tonight, 14 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, decent shooting, 5 from 6 from the free throw line. We've all seen him blow up. And we are now in the last week and a half for a team who now officially does not care. Shout out to you, Jonte Porter. So let's see where he can go. So I guess looking north of the wall.
Yeah, look, I had him as one of my guys I would have talked about as well. So yeah, I think he's definitely worth a look. He's really just going to get your points, but he can get some steals. The 13 rebounds, let's call that an outlier tonight, but. Look, as we know, these teams are playing some wacky lineups at the moment, so you're going to get out of position stats all over the place. So, not surprising to see him getting those rebounds. I wonder if Grady Dick uses Manscaped. Yeah, there's a question.
He could be the international spokesperson for it. Yeah. B-Dub in chat has mentioned a really good shout there. He's mentioned really hard to stream guys this Friday and Saturday with all the amount of games with the Friday Saturday back to back. Friday, I'd just be looking if you have a roster spot where you could go. And the only two teams from memory that have back-to-backs this week, and which is makes it fun / dismal, is that the Friday-Saturday back-to-backs are the Pistons or the Grizzlies. So this is where one of those guys like a Malachi Flynn or a Cade Cunningham don't play in the back-to-back and could end up being a target when we look for Malachi or Sasa.
Yeah, I think so. Obviously with Memphis on a back-to-back, there'll be value there, but we just...
Yeah.
They're not a team. I'm still not confident in who they're going to roll out from one night to the next, which makes it a little bit trickier. But someone like in Detroit, like a Sasa or a Malachi Flynn, I think they're just going to play every game. So there's no reason not to play them, whereas Memphis still seem to be resting guys. They're weird.
No. Have you just read Life of Cuz's story in chat? Oh, that breaks my heart.
Let's pop it up. So evening, fellas. Yes, evening, Life of Cuz. Thank you for joining us. Ended up finishing third after being knocked out in the semifinals. I had the one and only Jonte Porter in my team where I lost by 5 rebounds. Won the league had I not been knocked out by the unders man himself. There you go. So even when he's not playing, he's not betting on himself.
It's just horrible. Horrible.
It's a rough time of year. I mean, one of my leagues that I won, it was pretty close. I can't remember. There were a couple of categories that were close, and my opponent had Shea in his team, and he missed 2 of the 4 games last week. After basically playing every game all season, he missed 2 games with a quad injury. So that probably helped me win. It might have even been the reason that I won. It's the risk you take at this time of year.
100%.
So my third guy then, did Jordan Nowra. I'm going to go.
I did Jordan Nowra.
I was going to go with Delano Banton, but I think he's an obvious one. Because I think people have picked him up already. So he's probably rostered in a lot of spots.
I'm going to go a bit of a dark horse. I get one more, don't I?
I think you've done 3, but you can do a 4th one. I'll let you.
There's no rules. There are no rules. I've got one that I think is an honorable mention, but I just don't. And this is the thing. I know he was dropped a little bit, so I'm checking his ownership on Yahoo before I just say go out and get this guy.
All right. Well, I'll do mine quickly. And this is a guy that probably is rostered in a lot of spots as well, but I feel like he may have been dropped and people have somewhat forgotten about him, and that's Taylor Hendricks. So. Mm-hmm. His minutes were climbing. They were up, but his production wasn't great. Lauri Markkanen was sort of in and out. I think now is the time. I think with 2 weeks, I think we've got left, he's just going to play. He's played close to 30 minutes basically for the last 2 weeks. He's coming off a pair of 18-point games. Decent rebounder. He'll hit threes. Percentages will be a bit up and down, but he's doing more than enough to be rostered at the moment. And I think if he was dropped, you just pick him up and he'll be a value rest of the season.
I would agree.
Yeah. So I'd go and check if he's there. If he is, don't hesitate. I would just pick him up. And your honourable mention?
I was just going to say Miles McBride. He's up. I checked his thing, but he is way too owned now. He's at 52% owned in Yahoo leagues. But again, I've just noticed my opponent in that one that I'm playing, Matty Malley. He picked him up in that league today. I don't even know how he's still that far down on ESPN leagues. So you don't know if you open up ESPN leagues, there's still all those guys who've been dropped through injuries. You've got to troll through before you see hot ads. So it's also the difference between Yahoo ads and I think ESPN on your app, depending on what platform you play on. Whereas if you open up Yahoo, you see the most recent guys who are hot that are up the top and also the transaction trends. When you open up players in in ESPN, you just get the list. And number one on that one right now is guys like, open it up, here we go. I'm pretty sure it was guys like freaking Scotty Barnes and Joel Embiid was there until the other day. You know what I mean? So Lowry, Markkanen and Barnes, Vassell, Chris Paul is on the wire with the back-to-back. Maybe I should have targeted him, but I don't want the assist. That's a honey pie for him. But you go down and Miles McBride, because he's not up the top there, he doesn't come into that conversation very easily. So I think it's something we need to keep our eye out for if you do have him. And in 52% of leagues means you can bring him in 10-man leagues, definitely. Definitely in some 12s, you could be bringing him in. 14s, he'd be well and truly out of it, or 16s.
Yeah, look, I added McBride 4 days ago in a roto league. A few people are probably not paying attention because they're down the bottom of the standings, but I'm up there. I don't think I'm going to win, but I'm competing. Friend of the show, so Matt Carmody.
Hey, Matty Carmody.
Good morning. No, yes.
He's Ireland. Good morning. Ireland. I think it's Ireland.
Probably
Ireland.
Close to midday there, I think.
Yeah.
I think they're roughly 9 hours behind us. Just added McBride this morning. Yeah, look, have a look. He could still be there. Don't just think, he's probably added. Go and have a look. Because if you are in a league that's still going, then you're in a head-to-head league where there's not many teams still active, so there's just not as many pickups happening. Or if you're in a roto league, there's going to be teams that just don't care and aren't even watching. So
100%. And that's where I'm looking at it through now, and I'm like, you know what? There are so many opportunities to get these guys. You know what I mean? Like, there are so many opportunities to pick up dudes who are coming back from injury. Like Joel Embiid was on waiver wires and a whole bunch. There was whispers last week. There were sniffs. Jalen Johnson was the same. Is he coming back from that foot injury? Onyeka Okongwu. Especially if you're playing into week 24, you've just got to keep your ear out. Like Cam Whitmore, his comeback. So Cam Whitmore or Dylan Brooksy Brooks. Who would you be going for?
Yeah, in a points league. I just pulled up their sort of box scores, recent box scores, and Whitmore has only just come back, so he's only been back for a couple of games. So he's probably on a little bit of a minutes restriction here. He's played 22 and 23 minutes, but he's outperformed Brooks in both of those games. Yeah. I think I'd go Whitmore.
I think so too. The upside's there. In 20 minutes tonight, Dylan Brooks is getting 29. We all know when Dylan pops, he pops. Shout out to the Canadian superhero. But I think Cam Whitmore's come back off these injuries. He's also got what I loved about him coming out of the draft and in the rookie tournament. What do you want to call it? The rookie pro-am beforehand. What do you want to call it? The summer league, you know, games. He was like pissed. And he was an All-American. He was predicted to go much higher in the draft. Injuries maligned and story put him back. Obviously, he's personal issues and before workout put him well down the draft. He could have been a Laker. He could have been going to some of these top teams in the NBA. So there's a bit of a chip on his shoulder. So I think with a bit of a chance to shine down the stretch, Cam's the guy.
Yeah, I think so. I'm just comparing their stats. They're very similar in terms of production. So both at about 12 points. Brooks is 2 threes, 3.5 rebounds, 1.5 assist, not even a steal. I think you sort of think, oh yeah, he's this steals guy that's going to get me steals, but he doesn't.
He's just an asshole. You can't, and that's not a category.
Being
an asshole who's up in your face, like Jose Alvarado and him are like the start. They're two of the starters on the all asshole starting defensive pest team.
Yep.
You know, these are guys who, like, they get the notoriety of being a good defender, but good defender, again, in NBA speak, does not equate to good steals and blocks in your NBA fantasy season. Being a good defender just means being in the right places at the right time.
It does. Do we think Whitmore could sit one of the Thursday, Friday back-to-backs? Possibly. Yeah. Who have they got? Got Warriors and the Heat. So two pretty competitive games.
And they need to win both. And they need
they
to win both.
Need to
because,
win. Yeah.
Because if they beat the Warriors, that puts that whole, like, who's going to make it through to the play-in tournament that much closer.
Yeah.
And by the way, there's now open up three because the Warriors have gone on a tear since this. The Warriors have been pissed off by the Rockets now. So this game is personal, and make no qualms about it. All the Warriors' big turnaround since that Draymond ejection and everything has come around, and all the talk was, could the Rockets make the play-in? Well, they've just lost their last two after an 11-game win streak.
Yeah.
The Warriors are now on a 5-game tear. And they're a 500 team on the year. So even take it back to two, there's three games. But one game difference from between the – I think they actually play each other again. Do they play each other again next week?
No, they don't.
No, I don't think they play each other next week. It's this week that they have against each other. But the Rockets have the hardest schedule. So,
yeah
the Rockets have Miami, Dallas, and I think they've played the Lakers again. I think they play the Lakers next week or someone like that. Oh, the Clippers. They play the Clippers to finish their week. They do play Utah and Portland, whereas the Warriors play the Lakers, Portland, New Orleans, and Utah as well. So, yeah, it's if they're going to make it, the Warriors have to lose the rest of the way, one would say.
Yeah, I'd say so.
I think as long as they're in with a chance,
I think they're probably going to try and play Whitmore, and they are managing his minutes, so they're not sort of rolling him out for 30 minutes and then resting him. So, I don't know. I think he might play in both, assuming he pulls up after the first game with no setbacks or nothing or anything like that. So, all right. So we'll move on. So I sent a tweet. Well, I did a tweet, tweeted out. Yesterday, day before, about. So I went to a number of analysts, and you all sent me your early projection or projected top 12 or first round players for next season, and I tweeted out a sort of an average. So I put all of us in a spreadsheet, figured out the averages, and tweeted out the results. So I just thought we'd talk about our respective top 12.
I would love to hear. I would love to hear yours. Oh, this is yours or
this
mine?
Is yours.
Oh, this is mine.
This is yours. So I thought you could go because, you haven't seen
mine. Yeah, I'll go. I haven't seen yours. That's why I was excited to see it and see where the parallels are.
Look, they're similar. There's differences.
I'm just looking at it again now because this for me has been, because I wanted to bring up the chat. There was a couple of, because there's a couple of honorable mention guys like Donovan Mitchell, who I know made the 12 and who, you know, Kingy, I was so mad on this year. I was like, want Don. And I'm just going to be more vicious with my love of these guys. And maybe it was my inane hatred that I missed getting into the playoffs of one league after being last and losing Ja Morant and Scotty Barnes and all these other blokes that one cat difference, not one game, one cat difference separated me from the playoffs because Donovan Mitchell missed out on multiple weeks towards the end of the season. And that absolutely kicked me that I didn't put him in there. But I think the Joel Embiid one for me, let me start at number seven. Let me work through my second row because I think that's where I think it gets a bit more like me centric. Love Joel. For me, though, the injury, and this is where we need to listen to the talk and we need to listen to the experts, but we know there was the whole Joel Embiid injured thing, and that's kind of gone away the last couple of years because of how healthy he's been, how much an MVP has been, how excellent Joel has been the last couple of years has been phenomenal. So my recency bias to this new one is that I am hearing some talk in medical stuff say, well, yeah, you can do this injury again, like a couple of times in your life. And that's okay. When you come back, you kind of, it's kind of like when you lose your car keys, like you panic and you don't know what to do. But when you find them again, you can still go downstairs and drive the car. That's apparently what this injury means. He can still just jump in his unit and go around the place and still do his job really, really well. But maybe instead of like 38 minutes, he plays 36 or 34. And there might be some restrictions down the stretch. So Joel Embiid for me was someone who I would love to see in my top five and I would have in my top five, but then he's there because it's a similar thing for Tyrese Halliburton. Tyrese has been a bit banged up. I know he's playing through injury this year, but still the elite assist that he can give me and the sheer amount of points that he needs to generate is huge. He has changed a little bit since Pascal arrived in Indiana, but I still love what he does. And I love big assist numbers. I love big assist numbers, big rebound numbers, big points numbers. They're so hard to get. And the efficiencies as well is incredible, even though Tyrese's three-point shooting has. So I would be swapping Tyrese and Joel directly here if any swap was to be made for me when I look at it for revisionist history. Number eight, Kawhi Leonard. Nine, we all forget how great Kawhi is, and it's just been wonderful to see him play so much this year. And he's a top five fantasy player, but I just putting him there for whatever reason, it's like, oh, who am I going to ding? Well, okay, maybe I make it spicy for no reason at all and put Kawhi at number five just because he's a top five player. You know what I mean? So I like him there. Jason Tatum, I think the emergence of Jaylen Brown this year has dinged him a bit, but I still love the elite points. I love what he can do across the board. I think he might be one of the guys who I might be tied to, but would be the cut that I make from this list to maybe put someone like Donovan Mitchell in and bump the other guys up. Kyrie at 10, the man is sensational. Let's not fuck around. When there's no bullshit around Kyrie Irving and he's playing basketball, he is having one of his most efficient seasons. He's basically a 50-40-90 guy. Tell me, where would you like to get your 50-40-90 guys in your NBA fantasy draft? Number one, two, three, four, five. Gets rebounds, gets assists, gets steals, still gets blocks for a little fella. Absolutely love Kyrie. Kevin Durant, look, at the end of the day, like, the Slim Reaper is still an elite fantasy weapon. You can get points, you can get rebounds. He gets you defensive stats. He does it in excellent percentages, although they have been dinged a little bit this year. And his efficiency has come down this year because of his fourth quarter efficiency. So if you look through three quarters of Kevin Durant's stats, it's same old Kevin Durant, but it's his fourth quarter and clutch numbers, which are considerably down, which dings him percentage points, which would usually be higher there. And Chet Holmgren, I've just loved what I've seen out of Chet. And I think I don't think he is going anywhere further than outside your top 15 or 16 next year. I'm very willing to burn my pick here to get him at number 12, knowing that I don't want my opponents to get him in the second round, because you know what? I still have the next pick to think of for myself. So that's why I love to put Chet there. My number one is still Jokic, because he is Jokic. And at the end of the day, we're really in love with the shiny new toy, which is Victor Wembanyama, who, can I just say, designed the logo on his new Nike shoes, and it looks like the Court of Owls symbol from Batman. I'm pretty sure the man is a comic book reader and has just looked at the face masks of all the people in the Court of Owls and has just taken off the owl nose or the slant, and it looks, the roundness of the alien head looks legitimately like a Court of Owls mask if you look at the two side by side. So shout out to you, Wemby, who I'm now calling Batman. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has been just an elite person this year in fantasy basketball. Luka at number four. And as I've made my argument before, between Tyrese and Joel, but Anthony Davis, just like Kawhi, we forget how absolutely incredible and elite he can be when at full strength and healthy. What he can do for your fantasy side is just incredible. Points, sure, let me drop a 30 piece, let me get my double digit rebounds. We all love to, I think he's the fat kid at camp. Like, he's the chunk in Goonies. He's the one that people like to point out and make fun of because he's been injured or he's improbable and he's a day-to-day Davis. Like, we all love to make jokes at him. Like, he's the guy you point jokes at and have a laugh at. Like, come on, it's Anthony Davis. Okay, yeah, but it's Anthony fucking Davis, and he is really good at basketball. And if you look at the numbers, the man is a top five option this year. He deserves to be in the top five, top six next year. And that's, I'm 100% rooted to that as being a pick that you can be, I think, more comfortable this season taking with year 22 LeBron, especially. And that's mine.
And that's yours. And as I said, we'll bring mine up. Mine is similar. There's a slight differences in numbers.
But I love it. The names
are the same. So let's go with mine. All right. So I'll start at the top. So I've gone with Wemby at one.
Yep. You knocked on. Oh, this is great.
I just think Wemby's upside is just stupid.
It's stupid.
He's been pretty, he's been healthy this season. The Spurs will be better. I still don't think they're going to be competitive, but yeah, I've seen enough to move him to number one. Yeah. Two and three, bit of a toss up. I've gone with Shai over Jokic.
Why? What was the thing? What was the gut kingy telling you there?
I think we're starting to see some small, small cracks in the Jokic game, or not in the game, but in terms of his health. With just little niggles. He's getting older. Where are we? So he'll be 30 next year, whereas Shea is 26. So a little bit, yeah. Look, I think it's really a toss up. I think this is a pretty clear top three. I think Wemby, Shea, and Jokic will be 100% top three.
Can I just say though, right now, how fucking happy are you next year when you get picked out 1, 2, or 3 in your fantasy draft? Next year,
You're set. I think Wemby. There's potential for Wemby to be a clear number one if he's healthy, if he plays 70 games, if he continues on the trajectory that he's on. There's a chance that he could be the clear number one. But if there's some injuries and he sort of plateaus a little bit, then you'd almost want pick three because coming back, you're going to get pick whatever it is, 21. And you've got you could have any of these three at number one. I don't
100%.
You could easily make a case.
And this is why it's so great, because if you get number three, you're like, that's fine, I'll go whoever. You don't even have to play the game.
Which I did in that early mock we did. I had pick three, so I just took Jokic because he was there. Luka, I think will go four. I think he's probably a consensus four next season. Maybe you could make a case for having him in that discussion as a top three because he has been really good this year.
Very good.
I've got Anthony Davis at five. The injury thing, I mean, it's still there. People are still going to be a little bit concerned. But if you look at the rankings from this season, only three players in the top 12 have played 70 or more games, and Anthony Davis is one of them. So I think LeBron is starting to fade. He's not fading. He's LeBron. He's still awesome. But he's resting. They're managing him. His injuries are there. So I think next year Anthony Davis could actually increase his production a little bit if their roster stays similar to what it is now. I think he could be a top three player next season per game easily. Haliburton at six, again, the assist numbers. He really gets this bump because of his assists. They're really hard to get later in drafts. So if you can get someone that's going to get you 12 or 13 assists a game, you're basically set in that department. And I think the only question mark with him was points. We thought, is he going to crack 20 points? And I think he's proven that he can. He's obviously slowed down the last month or two because of that hamstring injury. But to start the season, he was at 23, 24 points a night regularly. So, I'm happy with Haliburton there. I've gone Tatum at seven. He's just safe. He's just really safe. He plays. He's healthy. He's sort of sneaky. So I know he started the season a little bit slow and people were probably underwhelmed, but he's now 13th on the season. I had a look. I feel like he's sort of middle of the first round over the last 2 or 3 months. Let me pull up his numbers.
Bring him up to, here we go.
Oh, slow internet. Come on.
In Canberra? No.
No, nothing slow in Canberra. Well, it's still thinking. Here we go. Okay, so... Oh, yeah, Jason Tatum. So over the last, over the last 3 months, sixth over the last 2 months.
It's two, yeah.
That's basically where you're taking him, middle of the first round. He's not going to exceed that. He doesn't have the upside of Luka or Anthony Davis or Jokic, so he's not going to be a top three player. But he's really pretty safely a first round player, I think, especially when you look at total value. And obviously injuries, a player is injury prone until they're not. Or they're injury free until they're not. So you don't know. Embiid, I put at eight. I really don't want him next season. I was picking at eight or nine, I don't even know if I'd take him. Per game, absolutely. Still probably top five. But those knees just worry me with his size. I feel like he could be limited to 50, 55 games next season, and that's if there's no setbacks or aggravations or anything like that. So I really don't want him next season, but I've still got him in there just because of his per game upside. Kawhi Leonard, again, I don't know if I'd be comfortable taking him there. If I had pick nine, I don't know. We'll have to see, but per game, again, he's still very good. So
this is where it starts to get, though, Kingy, like you said, that place where these guys start to slide with it, where there's like this really beautiful top bunch of like five or six guys, I think, or four or five guys that you could really love. Then there's this mid section where you're like, I've got to make a good first round pick. I don't want to stuff this up. But the truth is you probably won't stuff it up. You're just going to have to be really good maybe with your second or your third round pick, because you start to fall into guys like over the last 2 months, like you said, Kyrie's, LeBron's, Fred Van Vliet's, Sabonis's, you know, Paul George's, all these guys like DeJounte Murray without Trae Young. So you start to look at these kind of guys, love you too, Milan, that start to do this stuff. And this is why I talk Milan, because I clarify points, yes. But this is where we start to go, because who's comfortable taking Kristaps with their first pick at pick 12? No one can be like sit there on draft and be like, I'm pick 12. I can't wait to take Kristaps.
Yeah.
No one's doing that.
No, and I actually think it'll be interesting. I think next season, obviously, top three, you're set. You'll get one of those guys. 100%. Even top four, I think you could make a case for Luka and I guess Anthony Davis, because he could easily finish next season as the second ranked player in per game. Like he's what is he this year? He's fourth this year. Yep. So as I said, I think he could increase slightly. So I think if you've got sort of top three, top four, you're pretty set. Then
who are you? Can I ask though? Because like I said, we in our draft, we saw, and this was a 14-man analyst. I'm just trying to bring up, I've got the results here. And this is why I reference this occasionally as well. Anthony Davis went 13th.
I know.
So the first round, so just to reference an analyst league, was Wemby, Shea, Jokic, Luka, Joel, Tyrese, Tatum, Antetokounmpo. Dan Curry took the Homer Curry pick, which I don't think is going to happen next year. I took Sabonis for rebounds and points. Then it was Chet Holmgren, Scotty Barnes by Roto Kyle, and then Anthony Davis.
Yep.
If Anthony Davis drops to the 12th pick in your draft next year, I am convinced that the best home run move you can make is to pair him and Chet straight away. Like you're basically putting a squeeze on blocks on that Victor Wembanyama pick straight away.
Yeah. There could certainly be some nice pairing next season from sort of pick 8, 9 through to like if you're at pick 9, you're then going to be at what, pick 15 or 16.
Yeah.
And you could very well land someone like a Donovan Mitchell, Devin Booker. As you said, Fred Van Vliet, Kevin Durant could fall. I could see him falling to that range.
Yeah.
Who knows? LaMelo Ball, if he's somehow healthy, not confident at all, but if he's somehow healthy. So I actually think that next season drafting, because it's sort of been the last few years, if you're drafting after pick 6 or 7, you're pretty stuffed. I think next season, if you're picking towards the back end of the first round, you could be in a really good position, because I think that the top 12 next year is there's sort of 18 to 20 players that could make a case to fit into that top 12.
And I think the only change that we have there by the looks of it is Kristaps and Durant. And mine was 11, I think 11, yours is pick 12, but that's the only name that's different. It's just the order there is a little bit different.
Yeah, it's a bit different. So I've got, as I said, Kawhi at 9, Kyrie at 10. I've put Chet at 11. I did have him at 12 initially. I had Durant in there, but I moved Durant out. I just think Durant, LeBron, Curry, Lillard, these guys are just going to fall outside that elite top 12. Yep. Giannis, I tossed up Giannis, but I'm a bit worried about his injuries as well. I think it's just something they're going to have to continue to manage a little bit. He still has those pretty glaring holes in his game, the free throws and the three-pointers. So I went with Kristaps Porzingis, I don't know. It's an interesting one for me. He's 15th this year, which I think if you asked most people who didn't have Porzingis this year, where do you think he finished? They'd probably say, top 30. He's been pretty good.
No, he's been elite all year.
I landed him in so many leagues and won, I think, three of those leagues that I won on the weekend. I had him in all three. Yeah.
He's a slipper. He's one of those guys that slips out continually all the time because of that history. Yeah. Kingy, where did you pick him up? Can I ask, in those three leagues? Like, where did you find you random? Because it's like this belt. Like, you won't pick Chris Stamps inside the top, let's say, 20. And this year, although he's done it again 2 years in a row now, you know, so where did you pick him up?
I'm just going to bring up one of my leagues where I got him. This one here.
I'll bring up a league availability for him as well.
Results.
I'll bring him
so
one.
So I picked him up. What pick? Where am I? So this is one of the leagues I won. I had the seventh pick, and I picked LaMelo, so I still won it. Picked LaMelo, pick seven. Where is he? So it's a 16-team league.
I've got two leagues that I've just checked. 40. And he – okay, yep, perfect. I've got him here picked up in the 30 and the 34th in one league and 39th in one.
Yep. That's about where he was going. I think the earliest he was probably going was around 30, the late 20s, closer to the season. But early on, yeah, I think people were just a bit scared off by the injuries and by the fact that
new team,
just that he was playing on this team that's stacked. Yeah, I'm just trying to see. Can I have a look at? Oh, yeah, here we go.
Last year, he also finished. This is the crazy thing. Last year, he also finished in Washington as the 11th best player in fantasy, according to hashtag basketball. So this is a guy now who has, in the last 2 years, currently on Basketball Monster, he is at 15 on the full season in 9-cat. And last year he was 11-cat. So he's done this very close to the last 2 years, been around that marker.
Yeah. And if you look at his numbers from this year, he's at 20 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks, 2 threes, 51 or 52% from the field, 86. That's all sustainable. Like, there's nothing 100%. There that screams out, he can't do this again.
No way.
Games played, yes, he's going to get rested down the stretch because Boston are so good and they can. But he'll still play 60 as long as he doesn't get injured, a significant injury. I think he'll be 60, 62, 63. And I think the average is sort of 66, 67. So it doesn't faze me that much. And that'd be another, I mean, chances of Anthony Davis falling that far, as you, it's not going to happen next season, I don't think. But you could pair Chet and Porzingis, and there you go. Like, you're pretty set in blocks there.
Do you think that though? Because I still think that if you get Anthony Davis around the 10th or 11th pick, people are like, oh yeah, but I want. I think this has been what we've learned this season. It's been the big. I think the death of the small guards in Lillard and Curry is what's going to really alter this list. I think their decline this year has been the big thing that I think is going to directly contribute to this. Also, LaMelo Ball. I think him not being healthy this year is a definite contributing factor to this list, because he's a non-factor when we're drafting these days. We're like, oh, is he healthy?
Yeah, he's going to be really interesting next season to see where he goes in drafts, because I still think he's a first-round player per game when healthy, and we saw it this year. He was awesome, but yeah, I was high on him, and as I said, I took him with my first pick in that league, and it didn't pay off at all. So yeah, it's going to be interesting, because if he's falling next season, and you can get, for example, you might get Wemby with your first pick, and then you might get LaMelo coming back at 22. Wow. And if LaMelo plays 70 games with Wembanyama or with Shea, you're going to dominate. So someone's going to get lucky. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just who's prepared to take that risk with their second-round pick, probably, because I still think he probably goes second round. Worried about LaMelo's health. Miles Bridges played more games this season than Ball has played in the last two. And Miles Bridges missed the first 10 games because he was suspended. Yep. So that
and he missed last season as well. So LaMelo Ball in the last two seasons. Miles Bridges has played more in the last two seasons than him as well.
Yep. So it's it is worrying. We'll see. I mean, there's a lot of water to go under the bridge, obviously, before we get to next season. But Anyway, that there's our top 12s. That'll change. Like, this is not set in stone at all. No, people are going to change who they want to take, that sort of thing. We're bang on an hour, so
hey, look at that.
I'm going to let you get out of here, I think, and I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe I'm going to go and use my lawnmower 5.0. I don't know what I'm
going to do. Is it Valentine's Day for Mrs. King already? Jeez.
It won't be tonight.
I've got to jump on straight for another pod wearing these headphones for the night, which is killing me.
Yeah, it would be. So, well, I mean, speaking of insight, what's coming up? Only 2 weeks in the season left, obviously, but you're still pumping out the NBA.
Yeah, still doing it. Just for those Warriors who have been cooked by their commissioner and who are still having to know what and when to get who. And got the content coming out tomorrow. I've got the Chase Down show. Just going to look at the weekend ahead, what you can do. I've actually got Kayla Fonte jumping on for the first ever time in the show just to catch up with her about her season, lessons learned, preview the games ahead for tomorrow and Friday before Skitty and I go live on Saturday. So you can check Heat Check live on Saturday. And then next week, we're going to start putting together our slate of like our final year wrap up, where we're going to break down and do all of our big wrap up shows and do just special chats and guests. Going to try and get some analysts together for another live game show, because people say, are you going to do another live game show? I'm like, yes, I will do a live Kahoot analysts versus punters, because that was a heck of a lot of fun last time. And we like to have fun. So, yeah, just make sure, you check us out at Insight F Sports on Twitter, and give us a Insight Fantasy Sports. We've got NRL and AFL, obviously Super Coach season's in full swing there as well. So, yeah, going guns, mate. What about you? What's coming up on your FBI slate?
Yeah, similar sort of stuff, just regular shows, but starting to, do our wrap-ups. So having a look at busts and who were the winners this season, waiver wire pickups of the year, starting Jaylen to look Johnson. Ahead to next year. Yeah, Jaylen Johnson, who triple-doubled today.
He did.
Yeah, that was fun. Same sort of stuff, just wrapping up. I'll be doing some more analyst interviews during the off-season. I think you're jumping in on one of those.
I'd love to, yeah.
As well as Skitty, Kayla, all the people that I missed last year will be jumping on. So that'll be fun. I spoke with B-Dub today. Actually, our playoff leagues are up and running. So I think he said he's already up to 6 or 7. He's filled them all.
Wow, huge.
So if you want to jump into a playoff league, you can head over to our Discord server. The link is in the show description. So jump in there, join one of the playoff leagues. We'll just keep rolling them out until there's no more interest. And as soon as the season's done, we'll start our draft-only leagues for next year. So, if you like drafting like me.
Love drafting.
Yeah, it's fun. I like doing it. So, still plenty of content coming out over the next couple of months. So looking forward to that, but also looking forward to a bit of a mental break, I think, from fantasy basketball for a couple of months and focusing on footy and some other sports, which is always nice during the winter.
Walks along the beach we don't have in Canberra.
We do not. I can walk around the lake. That's about it. No beach.
Love Burley Griffin. Love Burley Griffin.
Although we can get to the beach pretty easy. It's only about a 90-minute drive, so
that's true.
It's not too bad. Thanks again for jumping on. We'll come back next week.
Of course,
probably fantasy, won't be as much to talk about, but
fantasy season's still here. We've still got one more week of fantasy. Then it's just shit talking basketball and blokes and beer, as you say.
That's right. That's right. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and questions and all of that sort of stuff. Remember to check us out. www.fbibasketball.com, at FBI Basketball on Twitter. I'm at AdamKing91. You are at NBAGWiz. Thumbs up, subscribe, keep building our audience. We love all of that stuff. And we're on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you consume your podcast content. Thanks for jumping on. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, catch up.
Bye.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.